Good morning. Thank you, Mike. So very kind of you. My thinking for this started really with a question. Why do we celebrate Easter? What's the purpose of today? Particularly considering that we live in a world that seems pretty broken. We see evidence of that every day, on the TV, in our streets, in our homes. But I want to turn our attention away from the world out there for a moment, and I want to turn it back inside at us and ask, what are things like in our hearts? What are things like in mine, my heart? It's not because I want to avoid the suffering and the cruelty and the pain that is out there in the world. It's because I think in the final analysis, when we get right down to it, the suffering and the starvation and the poverty that we see in the world around us begins with the cruelty and the aggression and the selfishness that is in our hearts. It begins with us, human beings. I'm sure it won't take us long, any of us, to remember a moment when we were really hurt by what somebody else did. We might even remember a moment when we hurt someone else, when we did something or did not do something, and that caused pain. I'm not talking here about the things that we think we should feel guilty about, like having a chocolate when your diet says you're only allowed a whole grain bar. I'm talking about the moment when we do something or we say something and we can see and we know that what we did hurt someone else. What do we do with that hurt? The usual response is to find out who is guilty and to punish them. Right? We have elaborated a hugely complex set of laws that is meant to make exactly clear where the blame lies. The laws we have are not really there to prevent crime. They're not really there to prevent hurt from happening. They are meant to make unambiguously clear who is responsible for what, so that we can then punish the right party. And we pride ourselves on the fact that our laws are proportionate, that our punishment fits the crime, right? We do something, or you do something small, we punish you a little. You do something big, like murdering somebody, and we punish you a lot. We call that justice. Justice has been done when the punishment fits the crime. If it does not, we feel slightly cheated, right? We feel something has gone wrong somewhere. And we try to go after the person ourselves. So we start suing each other, like the woman who's currently trying to sue us because she drove into the back of our car. Now, what does God do? How does God respond to the hurt that we cause? I mean, he is the creator of the universe. He's the one that started everything. Surely, if anybody gets to punish, it is him. I want to turn to John 3, verses 16 and 17. You may find copies of this Bible on the tables around you. It'll also be up there. It says, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." God comes to earth in the form of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, man who lived 2,000 years ago, more or less. Jesus, too, makes unambiguously clear what the difference is between right and wrong. Except his law can be summed up in one sentence, and it is a lot more radical than ours. Jesus tells us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. You can't quibble with that. There's no way of arguing your way around that. Then he turns to us and he says, so, brother, sister, what is the state of your heart? What do things look like in there? And the crazy thing is, he does not ask because he wants to establish our guilt, right? That he can make sure that he knows exactly what it is we did wrong so he can punish us in the way that we need to be punished. He asks because he wants to set us free. He asks because he wants to give us new life, a fresh start. How does he do that fresh start? How does he go about it? And again, his way of doing things is slightly odd. Jesus dies on the cross. I don't know about you. To me, that's a rather odd response to hurt that other people have caused, right? But there is some logic to it. Jesus suffers one of the most cruel deaths that we have yet been able to invent as human beings. And we are quite good at inventing cruel ways to kill people. But in that moment when he suffers and dies, in that moment when he suffers the worst pain that we can inflict, he takes upon himself our pain, the pain that has been caused us and that we have caused others. And he suffers it in our place. He stands where I should stand, and he suffers what I should suffer. Jesus does not die because God punishes him in my place. That's rather a horrible misconception a lot of people have. God doesn't kill Jesus because he can't kill me. Jesus dies so that he can suffer what I should have suffered, that he can take upon himself the consequences of what you and I do every day to each other. He dies because I kill him. But he doesn't just die. He rises again. He rises from the dead. And through rising from the dead, he wins over my pain. He takes over. He wins. He removes it. And that again boggles my mind. Right? It can actually disappear. All I need to do, all that we need to do, and really this is all we need to do, is to say, yes, Lord, I accept. I accept that you stand in my place. I accept that you suffer in my place. And we get to be free. We get to start again. New life, fresh start. More than that, Jesus inspires us and gives us strength so that we can relate to each other differently, that we can treat each other with love and dignity and respect. Jesus gives us the strength to obey his command, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That changes the world, let me tell you. That makes a difference. That is not bullying people into being better. That is not punishing for crime, making punishment fit the crime. That makes freedom, new life, possible. In that, there's hope. For that alone, Jesus has earned my undying love and praise. I think it's amazing what he did. The invitation is open to you. Some of us, we've already done it. We have nailed what has been done to us, what we have done to the cross. And we'll get to see in a moment that it disappears. But the invitation is open to you every day, today, right now. If you wish to be free, if you want a new life, if you want a fresh start, Jesus is waiting.
Thank you, Eric. Just can I put that in a little bit of context for those of you who are regular part of the Wharfdale Vineyard. We're in a season at the moment when we're trying to learn how to tell people this good news, exactly what Eric's been talking about. How do we share that amazing story with other people? And we're going to learn more and more about that over the coming weeks. The key thing is that to know that God loves us so much that this can happen. That God loves you so much that he sees the value in, you know, that £5 note in the box. He loves you so much that he will do this. None of us can work our way out of God's love. That's the key thing. The second thing is that we can't do anything about it. We can't make this happen, what Eric's been talking about. It's a free gift given by God, and we have to say, I accept I've done wrong, and thank you, God, for sorting it out for me. And the third thing is that you have to make a decision at some point. At some point, you have to say, I tried my self-improvement plan for life, and it hasn't worked. I need to take on God's plan of salvation. And it could be that today is the day that you make that decision. Maybe for the first time, maybe again. A decision to make a fresh start. What a fantastic day to do it on. The sun's shining. Jesus is risen from the dead. We're celebrating a wonderful thing. This is a great day on which you can make that decision to make a fresh start if you'd like to do that. If you've come today and you'd like us to pray with you, you need prayer for illness or sickness or a job problem or relationship, or you want to take that step I've just talked about and make a fresh start with Jesus, then whilst people are disappearing over there, if you'd like to come to the front somewhere around here, and we'd love to pray with you. House group leaders, I need you to come up and help pray. And particularly, we want to pray for Frank and Beryl. Are you able to stand up just there? This is Frank and Beryl, who are off to India for 3 weeks to go and work over there. So some of those of you who know Frank and Beryl, you might like to gather around them and pray for them as they go with our love and our blessing. Go and have a great time and do kingdom stuff and come back and tell us about it. Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for what it means. We ask your Spirit to come and fill us and give us a fresh start. You're an awesome God. We're so grateful to you for what you've done. Thank you. I pray that you'll fill us and bless us as we go from here. And may we be people who just ooze good news about Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.